everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of Conversations in the Park. Today, we actually want to focus in one of the key enablers of mobility, that is actually the citizen. So we are collaborating with this episode with the EIT Urban Mobility that has been supporting us during the whole year. And we will discuss of how you, the audience or the citizens, what is your role in mobility? So we have with us today Julian Chen, Patty LaTorre, and Nick Reed, to help us to navigate to this particular conversation and these topics. So with no further ado, I would like to let them introduce themselves. So Julian, if you start yourself, give us a little bit of a brief introduction of yourself.
Sure. So first of all, thank you so much for having me here. It's a real pleasure to be here to discuss this really important topic about citizen engagement in urban mobility. My name is Julian Chen. I am a citizen engagement and program manager at EIT Urban Mobility. And I really think about how do we embed citizen engagement and community participation into the spectrum of activities that comprise urban mobility. So starting from thinking about how do we engage citizens in thinking about what are the problems that need to be solved at to the end, and how do we support companies and startups in thinking about how do they work with end users, with different participants in the mobility sphere to create great solutions that will transform urban mobility in the 21st century.
Patty?
Great. Thank you for having me as well. My name is Patty LaTorre. I'm the head of strategic partnerships at Humanizing Autonomy. We have developed what we call a behavior AI platform, and our software is able to integrate with any camera system. So that can be a dash cam, that can be your phone or infrastructure, CCTV camera. And our software is able to understand, analyze, and predict the behaviors of vulnerable road users. That includes pedestrians, cyclists, wheelchair users, e-scooter users. And so really what we're doing is bringing the human angle, hence the name, back into mobility. I'm using the insights for real-time driver alert, but also for data analytics on the cloud. So thinking about understanding movement patterns, dwelling, safety hotspots, anywhere that you can really use the behavior understanding to improve safety and efficiency in urban environments is where we're working. And so we're working with a variety of public cities, transit operators, OEMs, tier ones, but really focusing on the vulnerable road user behavior and how we can make things safer for everyone.
So that's great. Quite interesting. And Nick, if you can give us a little bit of an introduction. Nick has been with us since the beginning of the first episode. I just want to thank Nick for the support. And if you can give us again an introduction of your experience, that would be really helpful.
Thank you, David. Yeah, and hi, everyone. My name is Nick Reed. I'm founder of Reed Mobility. That's an independent consultancy working to deliver transport systems that are safe, clean, efficient, ethical, and equitable. My background is psychology. Worked for many years at TRL, the Transport Research Laboratory here in the UK. Lots of work on things like distraction, fatigue, alcohol, drugs, and their effect on driving behavior. And that pushed me towards thinking about how to address some of those contributors to crashes on the road, and working on automated vehicles, and ran a number of trials, the Gateway trial down in Greenwich, testing a number of different types of automated vehicle. And then helped to create the Smart Mobility Living Lab, which is the test environment in Greenwich and the Olympic Park region for creating new mobility systems, before having a couple of years at Bosch as the head of mobility R&D. And now, work on my own as Reed Mobility, but working a lot in the connected and automated vehicle space. Most recently, working for the European Commission as one of the experts recruited to develop recommendations on the ethics of connected and automated vehicles. And yeah, really looking forward to the conversation today.
Great. So with no further ado, I think one of the things we've been discussing internally in web mobility that we want to discuss with you today is basically what is crucial and important to understand the value of citizen engagement to actually bring technology into the marketplace. Julie, if you...
Sure. Happy to talk about that a little bit. So from my perspective, there's a lot of assumptions that are baked into the way that we think about urban mobility. So these are assumptions that are based on decades of big infrastructure projects and philosophies that we're surrounded by. They're based on entrenched voices, and they're also based on our own personal lived experiences of how we and people that we know travel around the city. So for me, part of the importance of citizen engagement is really thinking about how do we break those assumptions open? And part of that is a need to recognize that society is more diverse than ever. There's a lot of hidden complexity around behaviors and beliefs and desires and needs. And for me, citizen engagement is about how do we bring all of this knowledge into the conversation? Because of course, if we only understand half of the problem, then can we really define effective solutions, especially ones that are going to require buy-in, they're going to require behavior change. So for me, we need to be able to constantly reconfigure what it is that we know about the city, what we know about urban mobility, and be able to adjust and adapt along the way. So a big part of this is really engaging with citizens, understanding what is a collective vision, and then how do we steer activities and efforts towards that vision together, knowing that there's a lot of change that's happening now and a lot of change that's going to be coming at us in the future.
So, Patty, you actually being on that journey. How it's important for humanizing autonomy, that real feedback of the citizen engagement to what I call learning about how we should be better in mobility.
Yeah, and to echo what Julianne just said, it's really interesting when we're talking with partners. People have assumptions about the problems. They think these certain areas in a city are a problem, cyclists are a problem, something like this. And then once you have the video to actually understand what is happening, oftentimes that one problem might be something, but it's actually understanding the root causes of that problem rather than just, you know, trying to come up with a surface level solution, understanding the root causes of that and going deeper. So it's actually really interesting to see that angle. But the other piece to this is also, you know, citizen engagement, and especially when we're talking about AI products and these kinds of things, it's people will only use them if they understand them and trust them. This link is really, really important. So we work closely with drivers, for example, that are using our real-time alert systems to understand their feedback, testing different audio alerts, for example, to understand what's their preference. Do they want a beep? Do they want a speech alert? These are really important, maybe minor or granular differences, but that is really going to impact how cities, how people adopt these technologies. So a lot of kind of feedback workshops going on. And this is also where we see the difference of, are you talking to the strategic teams that want the overall insights, or are you actually talking to someone who's going to be exposed to the technology day in and day out, and what are the differences there? So I think citizens includes a lot of different categories of people as well. So we need to keep that in mind when we're talking about kind of engagement and how to engage with different types of people.
And Nick, how you think as well, based on your experience on working European Union to understanding the ethics that we need to put as well for the perspective of the people who's designing things for the citizens, but at the same time, your personal experience developing some of the projects that is basically been deploying in many parts, understanding the importance of that engagement with the citizens, how that actually, based on your experience, how important that is, and how you can take that information to actually improving the products?
I think, well, you know, to build on what the others have said already, with automated vehicles, we're talking about deploying safety critical systems in the public realm. I think from an ethical perspective, it doesn't feel right that the governance, the regulation, the operation of those vehicles should be left only to the organizations developing the technology, who might be driven by very different pressures compared to what the citizens might be seeking in terms of a new mobility service or a safer mobility service. So that engagement in making sure that a new mobility system, an automated vehicle behaviors are in line with expectations, I think is absolutely critical. And it can't be left to the technology developers alone to determine that. And that's why the citizen engagement is really, really critical to have that perspective.
How you think that is important of the city strategy as well to understand how they can communicate and get that particular feedback for the citizen engagement or to ensure that basically citizen engagement is part of their strategy in order to deploy some technologies in the cities?
I think for me they need to be able to share a vision of what that golden future might look like, illustrate the potential benefits, but also be honest on the drawbacks and describe the ways that the way that you can attempt to mitigate those potential drawbacks to ensure Yeah, people don't lose out. People who you might perceive that they would lose out in that future, that their concerns can be mitigated. So really try to build that democratic legitimacy for the vision and build support that through that route.
Do you think that is enough cities that are reactive now to this particular integration of technology, or there need to be more cities that need to be more proactive to do this particular integration of technology and this engagement with the citizens?
From my angle, I think there's always room for improvement, but it's also not just on cities. You know, it takes an ecosystem to have these conversations, I think, the right way. So you also need to have the right industry support. This is where, you know, national research laboratories, kind of these stamp of approvals organizations that a lot of countries have that can play a big kind of role in these types of discussions. So cities are a vital part of it, but it also, you know, it takes industry, so public and private stakeholders to kickstart these conversations.
And for me, when I was at Bosch, we were working with cities to develop new urban mobility products and services. And although some of the challenges were similar across the cities we were working with, you know, London, Chicago, Mexico City, the way of approaching solutions was different in each. And it was really important to respect the differences between each city. You couldn't just turn up with the same brochure in any city and say, you know, these are our products, what do you want? It had to really be adapted to the specific location and the challenges that they faced in each. But for the most part, I think cities were very keen to engage, keen to build on innovations and partnerships with the private sector.
And then for me, I completely agree that, right, it is a connected ecosystem of different actors and different players who are defining together what that the future of urban mobility can look like. And I think that's where also cities and citizens have such an important role to play, is also setting what that vision can look like. Because at the end of the day, for citizens who are living in a city, the transportation is their lifeline for everything, for their livelihood, for their quality of life. And so working together between cities, between citizens, to help understand what are the things that we're trying to solve, what are the needs that we need to have, and having that set of vision, and then working together collaboratively with companies, with different actors in the ecosystem, and thinking about how can we collectively solve those problems, I think is a really important part of cities becoming more proactive, is thinking about what are our needs and then bringing in different actors as well to make those happen and make those into reality.
And what you guys think about the culture, when you actually need to actually be reactive, or you need to be technology into different parts of the world, how is the influence of the cultural behavior of that particular region to understanding basically how we can extract the right level of requirements, or the right level of understanding how basically each of the cities, as Nick, you mentioned when you were in your previous job, how important is understanding the culture and the cultural behavioral difference to understanding the input that we need to develop in technology?
From our side, there's kind of two pieces to it. One, and then this comes from like more of the software angle, but you need to have the right training data in order to already be able to integrate in these domains. So if you don't require a lot of training data, you're able to install much quicker and you're able to solve the problems quicker. So rather than having a POC where you need to do that first, it's really about, you know, what's already been incorporated in your software that is going to be able to pick up those cultural differences, understand how things work. And the other piece to this is also the team that builds the AI, their diversity has to be considered. So, and it's not just male, female, it's also kind of the national and cultural backgrounds of people that are developing these softwares. And so that's something that if a city is looking to engage a new product, a new technology, you know, it's really important for them to understand who is it that is selling me this, what's their backgrounds, how has this been trained? And those are two kind of key ways to bring in diversity, cultural understanding already in the kind of development of products, so that then when you're actually deploying, you can speed it up, you can use a modular approach to fine tune it further. So those are things that can already be done ahead of time and speed up the process.
And I do think, right, citizen engagement has such a huge component in understanding what these local cultures are. So if we understand in different markets that different things are more important to the people who live in those places, that's critical information. Then if you are as a company deploying a new technology in a different place, you understand here we really need to look out for privacy and security, for instance, or here we really need to understand that there's very low digital readiness or there's very low technological literacy and we need to push on that. So bringing people into the conversation, understanding what are their fears, their concerns, their needs, and then understanding how we localize products and services, for me, is a really big component of how we bring cultural understanding into urban mobility.
And how do you think is the best way to reach the citizens? So somebody mentioned to us creating workshops, but how actually we ensure that citizens are well informed and educated?
Well, I take a very broad definition of citizen engagement. So, right, it's about bringing in the needs, behaviors, ideas, desires, and really importantly, the energy of people into planning and creating the cities that they live in. So there's a wide variety of strategies that we need to think of. And again, that goes back to the specific needs of a city. So we can think about, there are a lot of really exciting new technological advancements that have come out to help people understand what's happening in the city around them. We can talk about augmented reality, virtual reality. There's a lot of 3D models now that help people understand different futures and interact with those futures in really interesting ways. But then I think we also have to continue to pay homage to the really traditional ways of engaging with people. And that goes back to what you were saying, Patty, right? There's so many different segments of populations and people that we need to work with. There's what we traditionally call end users, so people who are going to use a product or service. But then there's all sorts of other people within a city who also comprise that citizen base. So people who aren't going to use the technology, people who are older, people who are marginalized and don't normally have their voices included in the conversation. And it's really critical that we think about what are the right avenues to reach those people. Because those relationships are also built on trust, on two-way dialogue. And I think that's right. We need a lot of continuous on-the-ground relationship building and engagement to really be able to build these conversations that can happen over time in a meaningful way.
Well, I mean, for me, that's a perfect answer, to be honest. I think, you know, the way to reach people is to use the channels that people use, which sort of seems like a truism. But also remembering that there are some people who won't use those channels. And so how do you engage with those? And you know, it's not easy. And you know, take my hat off to Julien and the work she does in achieving that engagement and capturing those insights so to ensure that solutions are as good as they possibly can be.
Yeah, we used to say that what we actually do, that I always used to say with my team that if we need to do something to actually reach people, actually, I usually tested it. My marketing team said that my grandmother needs to understand it. So basically, it's kind of like the same thing, how we can reach with a simple information and communication to the right level of audience, but it needs to be clear, right? And educated it as well. So do you think that you can answer or not answer that question, but basically I'm going to throw it there. But what do you think, what is the influence on the media to actually, in general, to getting the right level of education and information for the citizens?
Yeah, I think it's massive. You can't underestimate this, the role that it has. I think this is another good example, though, of where the collaboration can really help educate together. And so, you know, and also the whole kind of question of citizen engagement, you know, it needs to be transparent also from the city. And then that's how, you know, as a startup, as a smaller company, you're going to search for trusted partners to work with. And if cities are making that information available, are, you know, striving towards citizen engagement, they're going to appear a lot more open. And that will also reflect in the media, that will reflect in the coverage they get. So it's kind of this wheel and that, you know, every hand is feeding each other. But this is where it's really about collaboration, that ecosystem approach, then we can help educate together.
I think with AVs, we're going through the hype cycle, right? So 5 years ago, every story was positive. Everything was exciting. Everything was starry-eyed. I think things are more pragmatic now. I mean, I wouldn't say it's wholly negative, but certainly more negative stories than there were 5 years ago about the potential negative impacts. But I think that's part of getting to the crux. You know, what is the value that they deliver? What are the problems that they solve? What are the benefits that they achieve? And can they be delivered in a commercially viable way that's acceptable to the communities in which they will operate? And I think we're getting to the answers to those questions now when they really will be a practical proposition.
And you guys think that, I mean, you think that the citizens are ready for everything we're preparing to bring into their market? I mean, we're talking about a lot of technology, but you think that they're ready to actually get everything, the new technological shape that we are taking with autonomous vehicles, with artificial intelligence, with image recognition, with mobility, different type of multimodal mobility. You think that, are they ready? We think that, let's say, are we ready to take those, or we need to actually understand more of what is the best place to deploy it in order to get to our end goal, that is trying to have it at a scale?
I think one of the interesting things we've seen over the last couple of years is the vaccine rollout. You know, it's a complicated epidemiological concept that's had to be communicated to the population at large and be convinced of the benefits. And clearly, there are some who are resistant to it, but for the most part, it's a process that's gone well. And the media plays its role in that. The government plays its role in that. Social media plays its role in that. And schools even play their role in that. So, I think it needs a kind of multi-channel approach and the ability to explain difficult concepts in ways that make sense to the communities that are affected.
And I think readiness is a difficult word. In a way, people can be ready for anything that comes at them, because we just need to be. But there's different ways of introducing and implementing new technologies into society that can help people be more ready, and ways that don't do that. And so I think that's a huge part of how we think about how do we deploy and understand citizen needs when we're creating new technologies, new products, new services, that we understand what does it take to help people become ready, and how do we roll these things out in people's backyards, in people's streets, in people's cities in a way that is respectful to the environments that they are currently living in, and that allows people to feel that they have some sort of control and ownership of what's happening in the public space. And so if we think about how do we roll out technology in a way that does that, then I think people can be ready for a lot of things. But if we're doing it in an uncontrolled environment where things are just happening, then people don't have that, we don't have the cognitive tools and abilities to understand how to respond. So I think that's one. And number two, of course, is we can also be very, very ready, but there have to be adequate feedback loops that allow citizens to provide their input into what's happening in a way that these new technologies can continue to adapt and improve and meet the needs of the local population. And so these feedback loops are really critical, that things are happening and we still feel that we have a voice in how those are changing and adapting to our environment.
I think to add to that, it's not going to be a one-size-fits-all solution. It can vary by street, by neighborhood, by part of a city, across the country. So that's really where it gets back to the citizen engagement, understanding what are the needs of certain areas versus wider city versus country. You know, we were talking a lot about kind of urban mobility here, but, you know, sustainability linked train journeys across the country rather than flying. How do you make that a part of solutions? So there's a lot of different pieces to it. And it's not going to be a one size fits all. And I think most have understood that.
And why do you think, we're going to do the wishful questions now. So basically is what you will think it will be the mobility on the cities. How do you think, or what is your wish list to actually see what you want to see in the cities in the next 5 years, for example, in terms of like a part of the city engagement, acceptance of the citizen, but what you think that as a society, how will we grow in the next 5 years to accept technology?
I think, I mean, from my side, it's, you know, just kind of the wish to not stop evolving. It's as simple as what's the new micromobility trend next year? You know, now we're all riding around on scooters, and we probably didn't think we were going to do that just a couple of months or years ago. It's kind of, you know, keep thinking, brainstorming of ways to make things safer, smarter, sustainable, and then bringing that back into that's going to require the citizen voice. That's going to understanding the pain points. So that's what I mean by evolving. It can't be a static system. It has to be something that gets better at incorporating the feedback. And like I said, we don't know yet what that new detection class is that we have to add for micromobility users, but fully thinking that there's going to be one, or maybe we're all going to be rollerblading again soon. Who knows?
I think for me, I would really like vulnerable road users not to think of themselves, or I mean, I don't think they do think of themselves as vulnerable road users, but I don't think we should think of them as vulnerable road users. I think that's a change that needs to happen, so that road journeys are as safe as air travel or rail travel. So you don't, so that it's not the most likely way for a young person to die. So that safety point, I think, is critical for me. There are lots of ways we could go about achieving that. Some of them will be more acceptable than others. So it's about defining what those, what are the better solutions that help us get to that safer, those safer forms of mobility that enable people to achieve their transport objectives, you know, whether it's social, whether it's work, whether it's education, whether it's health, and all the while bearing in mind the need to improve sustainability as well, the net zero target. So yeah, achieving better transportation more safely, more sustainably. That's the goal.
I would definitely echo that. So for me, I think in the next 5 years, I do hope that we continue to have a laser focus on thinking about how we can transform urban mobility to be more sustainable, to understand that we're living in a climate emergency, that we need to transform the way that we get around our cities in ways that understand what that means. And of course, that I hope that transportation in the future is more inclusive, that we bring in more voices across the spectrum of the city, thinking about all the different users of a city and their different mobility needs, and understand how we support them to get around, to meet their needs, to get to their jobs, to get to daycare, to get to their friends in ways that are easy and convenient. And then again, sustainable.
Well, what role do you think it's sustainability? And you mentioned as well that it's being mentioned the word sustainability in a couple of your quotes today. What do you think that sustainability and the climate pledge that we did in the COP, it will help in to accelerate some of these particular adoptions of mobility in cities? Currently, I mean, the way I see it, it wasn't mobility and sustainable, it was separated, like it was kind of like two separate things, right? And I think I'm starting to listen more of these two together, the sustainable mobility, right? So basically, you think that basically that will help to actually cities to adopt and engage with their citizens as well faster, to make sure that they actually fulfill some of the achievements that some of the governments need to actually achieve according with the COP?
I think for me, it all helps to build momentum. I think a lot of cities are on this path already, some maybe less so. But I think if there are stronger commitments at a national level, it means cities have more support for adopting more assertive positions on sustainability in their particular region.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think also, we've tended to historically talk about safety and sustainability separately. I think when we're really trying to think of the new city of tomorrow, the way we're all living, commuting, this is an opportunity to bring those two together. And so that's maybe still some room for improvement, I would say, in some cities, some areas. But that's really the conversation that needs to now happen.
I think that common goal and that common vision of where we want to go is critical, and also in giving cities the mandate to make those difficult choices. Because I think we also need to be honest that there are some difficult choices that need to be made and that are coming up ahead. And we can talk a lot about sustainable transportation, but the reality is most of our cities are still very car dependent. They're still really reliant on forms of transportation that are not sustainable. And so understanding where we want to go is going to require quite some large step changes. And that's really critical that we are able to have those difficult discussions, and that we're also able to have the leadership and the political will to move those conversations forward.
So basically, just to close it up a little bit, the podcast, I actually asking as well some of the speakers to tell us a little bit what are the main key areas that they actually are working on, and basically how those actually contribute to the building the ecosystem of mobility. So basically, I'm going to give you the floor and then give us a little bit of the insight of what you guys are doing to actually helping us to bring in to support an ecosystem of mobility to allow this implementation of technology. So, Juliet?
Sure. So I would say two things are really important to me. The first one is, how do we build capacity and knowledge on how to do effective, but also interesting and exciting engagement? So how do we push past traditional barriers, like people not seeing the relevance to participate, through designing engaging and inclusive strategies? So much of good citizen engagement lies in being able to ask the right questions at the right fidelity at the right time. And also understanding, how do we analyze and do something meaningful with the input and the feedback that we receive through these engagement exercises and actually translate that into something that is tangible and happens on the ground. So for me, capacity building is a really important thing. Being able to stay on top of the newest technologies and understanding how we engage people in new ways, how we help them understand and visualize different futures that don't exist today. And then the second one is thinking about sustainability and long-term commitments. So one of the things that we are really big on, of course, is also living labs, giving companies, giving people spaces to test and try new solutions in more protected environments. And I think there we can also really push on engagement and thinking about how we bring people into these living labs at earlier stages to work with companies, to provide feedback, to provide input into these technologies, but also, right, the UX and the usability and the interfaces to create really great solutions that also work for the people. And so I think over time, as we start doing this more and more, we start building that muscle memory, and we start also understanding much better what the value of bringing people into the conversation early is, we can start institutionalizing these practices. Because at the end of the day, we do want to move beyond living labs, we do want to move beyond pilots, and we really want to think about how do we systematize these approaches into our everyday ways of approaching and designing our cities.
For me, I'm working on several things related to the safety and governance of connected and automated vehicles. So a couple of projects as a member of consortia for DfT, the UK Department for Transport. One on creating a digital highway code. So how do you convert the rules, the 307 rules that are in the highway code, into something that a machine can understand? Is that possible? And what should be the kind of safeguards around doing that? Another project for DfT on the data that you need to collect in order to understand whether an automated vehicle is operating safely. And that relates to the third project, which was for British Standards Institution, BSI, a concept called digital commentary driving that created with colleagues. The idea that you could create a standard data set that automated vehicles would produce, whether it was a Waymo vehicle, a Cruise vehicle, an Oxbotica vehicle. There would be a standardized set of data that they would produce that could tell you what the vehicle was seeing, how it was operating, where it was planning to go, what speed it was planning to adopt, that gives you a sense that the vehicle was operating safely and can provide that public confidence in the safe operation of these vehicles. So, yeah, that's what I'm up to. And it's looking good.
Yeah, for me, it's kind of the favorite part of my job is that I get to, you know, think of new deployments, talk to first adopters, early adopters of these technologies. So bringing, and we talk a lot about this, you know, how do you bring a software to the people? How do you show the benefits? How do you make it tangible? So those are things we're working on now. We're going to be deploying in New York City and Guadalajara, Mexico, as part of a project with Together for Safer Roads. So that's going to be a really big opportunity for us early next year. And then, you know, it's things like looking ahead, you know, is there still travel bans or not, and these kinds of things. But how do we replicate these success stories for us as a smaller company? That's the key. You know, as soon as you win, you already got to think ahead to new deployments. So that's what's keeping us busy. We're wrapping up our work with Transport for London on the Freight Lab Challenge that we're part of this year as well. And so it's really opening doors to new sectors. We've talked a lot about vulnerable road users, but you know, think of construction zones, think of logistics facilities, anywhere where you have people interacting, working, needing safety and efficiency, that's where we want to be. And so that's a whole other angle in terms of, you know, we've talked a lot about how people live in urban environments, but what about their work as well? That's a key part. Where can these advances, new technologies make things better for all of us? So that's where we're going to be looking to go next year.
So thank you very much for your time. I hope the audience that actually loved this discussion, because it's basically what they probably, we all going to be working on during the next years, is trying to actually bring more safe, secure, more inclusive and sustainable environments for mobility to be adopted in different cities. And I hope as well some of the cities actually listen some of this podcast to understand as well how they need to behave and then prepare themselves for being more proactive. So thank you very much for your time, for spending time with us today. I hope I can see you on the field working, trying to achieving the sustainable cities of the future. And I thanks all of audience to actually follow us. And thank you for the AIT Urban as well to sponsor this particular section of the podcast. And I hope I see you all soon out there. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.